Hello, and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. Thanks so much for being with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this time we talk movies and a fantastic new movie coming out this Friday, Same Kind of Different as Me. Different than what you may often expect from Hollywood in many ways. Michael Carney is the director and screenwriter of Same Kind of Different as Me. He joins us now. Mr. Carney, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Cy. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, congratulations on the movie. And I'll tell you what, I want to start by asking you this. To make a film like this, we often hear people say, why don't they make more wholesome, good movies in Hollywood and all that kind of thing? And I think people think, well, it's because nobody wants to make them. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But it seems to me that there's an artistic question here, too. It's not that easy to make a movie that's beautiful like this. like this, you can't just kind of just run them off like mimeographs or something.
Right.
I wonder what your impression of how hard is it to make a movie like this in Hollywood? Not just, I mean, to get it financed and produced and all that, but also to make a work of art that has this kind of message and beauty.
You know, I'm gonna leave that one up to the big man upstairs, right? Because I think you're right. They don't grow on trees, that's for sure. And I feel like you can try to go conjure those things up, but what really touched me, and when I read the book, when I finally read the book, because it wasn't on my radar at all, it shows you how God chases you down and kind of yanks you into where you need to be. And thank God he does that, because I would have missed out on, you know, this most amazing blessing. But to your point, I didn't want to go make a cheesy Christian film, you know?
Yeah.
And so we were very intentional. This story is incredible, and it touched so many people's lives. And I just wanted the goodness that was baked into the thing to come out more like a parable, right? And so when I finally dove into the story, I saw how amazing it is. It's one of those things that I really wanted to make, but I wanted to make it at the highest level. So that's tricky, right? Because you have kind of faith material. And then I'm wanting Academy Award winners who typically don't do movies in this space. And so there was a lot of prayer and I think some good screenwriting moved the needle a bit.
Yeah.
I don't take a lot of credit for it because the story was there, and what I did was just honor the story, right? So in doing that, we were able to really land some amazing talent. And I think because of the age range we were all at as well, these actors were wanting to do something that leaves a mark, you know? So, you know, you have the blow up and the superhero and all that stuff, but you know, this was something that really touched at the heart. And I think it moved us all in very similar ways to, live beyond ourselves. You know, I think, you know, you get in a pattern of life where you're, you know, successful and you're working really hard and you start writing checks and you need checks, right? But you stop getting your hands dirty. And I think that it was one of those things where we all were moved to kind of go get our hands dirty and to serve, you know?
You aren't kidding about the cast, though. I mean, Renee Zellweger, Greg Kinnear, the amazing
Diamond Ansu.
Yeah,
Diamond Ansu. Don't forget him. He's the homeless guy that was incredible. Yeah.
Right. And thanks for pronouncing his name because he's one of those actors that I think probably people go, oh, I love that guy, but they don't they don't know the name or whatnot. So you but John Voight as well. Not playing the hero of the of the movie.
Not at all.
But that's an impressive cast, and that helps you bring out this. But this comes from a book, and I wonder what your exposure to the book was. I mean, it's become really a phenomenon in many ways, the book. So how did you come in contact with it?
So the book was sent to me. This goes back to God dragging me in, right?
Yeah.
The book was sent to me, and I ignored it. They said it was a huge faith-based book, and I'm a faith guy, but I don't want to be preachy, right? So my stuff that I want to do, I just want to tell great stories that reach a lot of people, and you know, we point them to God, right? And so about the third time, these people called me up and sent me the book, like, come on, don't be a jerk, just read the book. And so I was like, all right. And so I call my dad. My dad's a minister, and I always do. And he kind of likes a lot of those cheesy Christian films, so he knows how I feel about them. And I said, Pops, you know, pray for me because I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. But they sent me this book, and he goes, what's the name of the book? I said, Same Kind of Different as Me. And he immediately, I could just hear him, his hand hit the desk, and he goes, Michael, I bought hundreds of those books and gave it away. It's my favorite book. Because did you not get one? And I was like, oh, my goodness. So you, I felt God kind of in my own life, my father's favorite book. So, and then, you know, I dove in and could see why, you know. And it's a book that, you know, you can do movies, but this actually, this movie can become a movement, and it has been. And I feel like that was my job, is to, you know, keep the integrity of the story intact. Ron, the author, had been, this had been in a few different Hollywood studios and people working on it. And every single time they would take away the heart of the film, they would change it. They'd be like, oh, this is a great little story, but it should be this.
Oh,
and
right.
When I met him, he literally showed me one of the last screenplays that was sent to him. He wrote on the top of the screenplay, "My truth is better than your fiction. I'll never make this film." So I was like, man, I like this guy. So, not wanting him to write that on the screenplay that I delivered, I said, hey, why don't you sit by me and let's do this together? So, and that was a huge blessing.
Yeah, indeed. And these, the themes are big themes. I mean, forgiveness, marriage, a sense of, how should I put it, of maybe missing the beauty in other people until you can see past some things, you know, those kinds of things. These are themes you could, you know, from the great drama and comedy of history, and they come together. So I gather that's, as you're saying, that's a rarity, that you just see a story where you go, it wow, it all fits here.
Yeah, the scope is big, right? And there's, we don't discriminate against the issues in this film. Some people think, oh, this is a film about a homeless man, you know, and it is, but it's also a film about a lady forgiving her husband for infidelity. And only because of that act of grace and forgiveness did all these other things happen. And it weaves together in the most beautiful way. And that was my job, is to preserve that, right? Because, you know, Debbie and her forgiveness was the instigation for this whole movie. But then you start to see Denver and his forgiveness of how he was treated by the white men to even get over that hurdle to even talk to these people. You know, and it was like you said, it was really vast, and it was difficult to get it down into a couple hours, you know. But I hopefully we did. It seems to be doing really well, and people are moved, you know, and that's what we want. Like I said, I don't think we can take a lot of credit for that. I just happened to be along for the ride.
Well, let me ask you about the performance from Jaimin Hansu, because, or Hansu is how you say it. Well,
you got it right the first time.
Oh, I did. Okay. Here's my, maybe it's a prejudice, I don't know. But I think about the Academy Awards or something like that, and I think if this performance is given in a film that is more, I don't know, transgressive, you know, or something like that, it's breaking new bounds in some socially progressive or something movement. This is Oscar type performance. Do you have any concern for like a performance like that? That maybe because the film is beautiful in a different way, in a way that it is accessible to say a Christian person and isn't shy about God and all that. A performance like that really should be awarded might be overlooked.
Yes. And hopefully that doesn't happen. There's been recent, I mean, I think back years ago of how great Chariots of Fire was, you know, such a great movie and it got all kinds of Academy Awards. Recently, and you know, there's The Blind Side, which most people would think about, that's not that aggressive of a film, but you know, Sandra Bullock won her first Academy Award in that film. This is a family movie. We make no bones about it. We could have pushed this to the rated R space because there was a rated R element about this. We do have some scenes in there, you know, they're dealing with the KKK and how he was treated, that actually teetered on making us a rated R film. And I'm glad that it didn't, because people, you know, there's an educational element to this thing. And it does feel very real, but as you know, it doesn't have foul language in the movie, you know, and what it has is very real themes that are honest and authentic. And typically you got to be doing something crazy, you know, to win those awards and be aggressive. But, you know, Jaimin's performance is incredible. I mean, I get goosebumps. I'm sitting there while let me put it this way. Our cinematographer, Don Burgess, who's incredible, he's done little films like Forrest Gump and Book of Eli and all these
films. Oh, yeah,
little
pictures. I've heard of those.
Little films like that, right? So he sat there, and one day he raised his arms up and he showed me he had goosebumps on his arms after we were sitting there watching Jaimin perform a monologue, and he said, out of all my years, I've never seen anybody do it better than that. you know, and yeah. It was that kind. I mean, this, he owned it. Now, look, here's the thing about Jimon. He captured the spirit of that role. And one of the reasons is when he was 19, he was actually homeless. So he said, this isn't just an American thing. This is a global thing. So he really resonated with this character in so many ways. And boy, did he pull it off.
He did indeed. And so now what are the prospects for a film like this? I mean, I've seen the advertising. It seems to be getting support from the studio and that kind of thing. Do you have high hopes for it when it opens?
We do. Now look, it's not Superman, right? So, you know, you're going to be on a certain, you're not going to be on, you know, 3,000 screens across the country. So it's very important that people who want these kind of movies made go out and support it in the first couple of weeks. That way it'll open to more theaters and can get more eyeballs, you know? So there is a push. And if it's successful, it's amazing how it all comes down to this. And thank God that we're not in control and he is, right? Because yeah. We do what we can do and then we hand it over to him. I believe that we honored the story and we honored God in telling this film. And, you know, hopefully people will go see it because that's the only way more of these things, you know, films will get made.
It sometimes seems as if in Hollywood, there's not an interest in making these films, in part because there's just not an interest in making these films. And not because they can't make money and you know, and the Harvey Weinstein thing is going on and it's giving us a kind of everybody a queasy stomach about how young women have been treated in Hollywood. But you don't despair of Hollywood.
You know what? Hollywood, there's a lot of good people there. There's some really bad people there. But I've been in Hollywood since 1997. I actually am in Georgia now. We bought a beautiful home down here. And I don't hate being away from the 3 hours of traffic every day.
That's like 5 miles, too, in L.A. Like that's
right. I was there for the premiere last week, and it took an hour to go 6 miles. And it was crazy. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great people there. And I think there, you know, when we were doing this story and the guy at the studio was talking to me and he was like, you know what, we need to make more movies like this. It reminded him of like the golden era where there was just great storytelling.
Yeah.
And it was thank God they took a chance and we did it at Paramount, which is a bigger studio. But they, to be honest with you, they're kind of lost in it too. Like it's almost like they don't know what to do with it, you know? Yeah. But he felt there was something there and there is. And it's one of those things, like even when, you know, we got done and they were watching it, you know, he was so moved. Right. And so that's the point. I feel like if we can cut a path, you know, and there's a place, cause I think middle America, if you're not on the coast, right. That's where we kind of, you know, not that there's not great people on the coast, there are, but there's a disconnect from Hollywood and the rest of America oftentimes. And I feel like we could be kind of a bridge builder there because look, there are good people that are family people and they want good content. It just, you know, I feel like when it comes with faith things too, oftentimes there's sermons on film, right? So these people are feeling preached at. And so we wanted to make sure we weren't doing that. I'd rather sneak up on them with truth, you know, get them in there, suck them in. They buy into this story, into these characters. And the next thing you know, the guy who never cries is looking around for a tissue. So,
well, how much do you feel that pressure then when you're making a movie like this, though? Because it's, you know, if you're making the latest movie about, I don't know, a mass murderer or something, then you're not like, well, you know, the genre, you know, needs great films to develop it and build confidence in it. But in this, the cast is certainly not going to be the problem. The story is not the problem. Do you ever have a sense of, I don't know, extra pressure that says, I better make this movie work because there's a lot riding on it, not just the film, but, you know, to encourage more of these kind of films to be made.
Right. Yeah. Thank God. I think that I wasn't thinking about that at the time. The pressure that I felt was to get the story right because the true life story touched so many people's lives, right? So I kind of was fighting against a lot of voices that in a lot of ideas, you know, there's a lot of creative by community out there, and that's not the most effective way to make a film, as you can imagine. So I was always going back to the source, which was Ron Hall, who's still alive and here, and he's a deep well for us to pull from. And I feel like oftentimes, you know, people want to change the story because they feel like, you know, that's what Hollywood, they kind of rewrite stuff. And I wasn't interested in rewriting this. So the pressure I felt was to honor the story and the lives of Ron and Debbie in Denver. And that's the same thing with the actors. You know, they were amazing, right? And Renee and John would always talk about it, and Greg is like, we got to get this right because these are real people, you know, and there's a legacy here. So I happen to have the most incredible actors who understood that. So we kind of were in our own little box, and we felt that. And even when we'd hear some crazy comments, we kind of look at each other, you know, with that little smirk, and we would go on and do what we were doing. So I think I was really fortunate in that. Where I do feel the pressure afterwards is what you're talking about now, is knowing that this movie does have a lot of heart, and it can move to movement status, right? This could move people to live beyond themselves and to kind of not see, you know, homeless people as invisible, that could literally ask forgiveness, you know, from their wife for into the, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of issues here. So that's where you start to go, oh man, we've got to market this right and get it out there, right? So that people don't think this is just another little family film. It's so much more than that. You know, it's, there's a lot to it. So, yeah, so that's, I think prayer, right?
Right. And so now, are you going to be the guy that, I mean, you said it, so I'll say it, but that everybody who wants to make a cheesy Christian film is going to come to, like, to make it not cheesy, or do you know, what other, or are you feeling like, no, maybe people will get it now. This is the level of film that I want to make.
Yeah, look, I got called by a lot of those folks. Don't, you're exactly right. I'm going to be very picky about the content that I'm going to do. And I want to tell amazing stories, and I'm drawn to stories of faith. You know, because that's who I am, and that's how I've been bred, right? And I feel like if we can do it the right way and make it, again, I go back to the parable. You know, Jesus talked in parables, and it confounded the wise, and the simple understood it. And there was a real beauty about that, but every one of them had incredible messages behind it, right? So I'm not interested in just entertaining people for entertainment's sake, and that's fine. For me right now in my path, it's about finding stories that move the needle, and ultimately pushing them towards hopefully God, you know? So,
Michael Carney is our guest. He's the director and screenwriter of Same Kind of Different as Me, opening this Friday all over the place, and starring Greg Kinnear, Renee Zellweger, Jaimin Hansu, Olivia Holt, John Voight, and it goes on and on. The cast is fantastic, and it's not, I feel almost embarrassed saying this, but it's not a cheesy Christian movie. So I hope that you Amen. Will that you will go out and support it. I'm really looking forward to more and more great films from you, Michael Carney. Thank you for making this one, and thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, brother. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you to all our listeners for joining us again on Catholic Answers Focus. We appreciate that you do. Remind your friends, or let your friends know that we do this podcast and that it's worth listening to. I am Cy Kellett, your host. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.